I promise on my honor to be faithful and loyal to Ghana, my motherland. I pledge myself to the service of Ghana with all my strength and with all my heart. I promise to hold in high esteem our heritage won for us through the blood and toil of our fathers. And I pledge myself in all things to uphold and defend the good name of Ghana, so help me God.
The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana. The news presented by Abraham Donko
and Najagbili Ago.
In the headlines, President Mahama to inaugurate 2-megawatt solar plant in Navrongo today. Security agencies directed to collaborate with management of ECG to prosecute persons guilty of illegal electrical connections in markets. Government secures 12.9 million euros for maintenance work on Adomi Bridge. Canadian Governor General begins 4-day state visit to Ghana on Monday. South Sudan rebels take over military base after clashing with army. And fire in Bangladesh kills 8 people. But first, the summary with Najagbili Ago.
President John Mahama will today inaugurate a 2-megawatt solar plant in Navrongo in the Upper East Region. The 2-megawatt solar plant, which was built by the Volta River Authority, is part of efforts to use renewable energy to augment the country's current power generation. Government has directed the Electricity Company of Ghana and the security agencies to do a thorough inspection of all markets to apprehend and prosecute any person or group of persons found engaged in illegal electrical connections. In a statement, a Deputy Minister of Information and Media Relations, Phyllis Kwachi Ofusu, said illegal connections have been identified as one of the major causes of fires in the markets. The directive forms part of government's efforts to reduce the recent spate of fire outbreaks in the country. A 12.9 million euro fund has been secured by government from Austria to carry out major maintenance work on the Adomi Bridge. The bridge will therefore be closed to human and vehicular traffic for about 2 years. The district chief executive for Isujaman Johnson Ahiapo disclosed this when the Eastern Regional Minister Helen Lintoso and her deputy Mavis Frimpong visited the assembly on a familiarization tour. And fire in a garment factory in the Bangladesh capital Dhaka has killed at least 8 people. The fire comes with the issue of industrial city in Bangladesh under intense scrutiny following the collapse of an 8-story building late last month. Reports say a police officer and the owner of the factory were amongst the 8 killed.
Radio Ghana, number one current affairs news channel and more.
The news in detail. President John Mahama will today inaugurate a 2-megawatt solar plant at Navrongo in the Upper East Region. The plant, built by the Volta River Authority, is the largest plant in West Africa. The inauguration is part of efforts to use renewable energy to augment the country's current power generation.
President John Mahama says his immediate vision is to create energy security for the country by putting in more generating capacity to meet demand. He says that is why he is concentrating on the Ghana Gas Pipeline, which is a critical component in energy generation. The president was opening the 40th session of the General Council meeting of the Church of Pentecost at Gumwafete in the Central Region. The session has brought together representatives of the church across the globe. President Mahama also inaugurated a 5,000-seater Pentecost Convention Center for the church A report by Pascaline Adadevo.
The Pentecost Church has one of the biggest congregations in Ghana. The church, no doubt, is a worthy partner in national development. Pentecost Church owns and operates 84 basic second cycle and technical schools. It also has 8 health institutions which provide health care to communities in which they are situated. The church runs an accredited university with an educational fund which offers scholarships to students. The 40th General Council meeting also coincided with the inauguration of the ultra-modern Pentecost Convention Center. The 5,000-seat capacity auditorium is the biggest in Ghana. What is fascinating about the auditorium is that it makes use of direct light from outside. This caught the attention of the president, particularly at a time when the country is going through energy crisis.
I have noted, much to my delight, that the way this place has been constructed to make maximum use of natural light. We're sitting in this large auditorium, not a single light is on. All the light is coming from the sun. If we're in some other auditorium or some other church, it will be so dark inside by this time of the day that we'll have to put on all the lights in this auditorium, not the Pentecost Convention Center.
As he delivered his goodwill message, President Mahama dovetailed this innovation into his energy vision for the country. He said energy demand is growing by 7 to 10% every year. This calls for enough energy to stay ahead of demand. President Mahama said his government hopes to increase energy generating capacity to 2,000 megawatts in the next 10 years.
So ultimately what we have to do, and God has blessed us, we have found gas in large quantities in the Jubilee field that we are currently exploring. And so we're building the Ghana gas facilities at Etuabo in the western region, which will bring our own gas into the pipeline and be able to power our thermal plants. That will give us gas security and energy security. It will make us less reliant on only one source of gas. We're praying that the West African Gas Pipeline Company is able to restore the pipeline in the next few weeks. But even when it has been restored, it is better to have your own and make know that one is more reliable. And so I'm taking a particular interest in that particular project to make sure that we have our own gas and that we're able to generate enough power to feed our industries and feed our own local demand.
The president commended the intercessory role of the church in Ghana. He said he feels proud when the country is globally touted as a model of peace and democracy in Africa. The president reminded leadership of the church of their role as the conscience of the nation and maintain a united front.
One of the major problems afflicting the body of Christ in Ghana is disunity. We have our different denominations. We have the same faith. We should feel comfortable to be as one as Christ, you know, determined it to be. And yet, we have our little kingdoms in our little churches, and there are all kinds of petty jealousies between leaders of churches and all that. I want to use this opportunity to say that in the body of Christ, we are one. There is only one word, and that word is what we are all looking to. And so our churches should show us the way by being united.
The president of the Ghana Pentecostal and Charismatic Council, Apostle Dr. Opoku Nyina, added his voice to appeals to Ghanaians to respect the verdict of the Supreme Court in the 2012 election petition case. The Church of Pentecost has members who are playing various roles in national development. They include a Deputy Minister of Gender, Children and Social Protection, Rachel Apo, Joseph Siao Ejepon of Zoom Lion, and the youngest chartered accountant in Ghana, Jemima Kugbenu.
Pascaline Adadevo reporting.
Vice President Kwesi Bekwemisahatsa has called on international financial institutions as well as the private sector to partner government in developing Ghana's energy sector. He said a similar partnership is also required in constructing world-class roads, hospitals and other infrastructural needs of the country. The Vice President made the call when he held discussions with the Chief Executive Officer of HSBC Africa, Andrew Dell, on the sidelines of the 23rd World Economic Forum in Cape Town, South Africa, yesterday. Mr. Emisahatsa said government is ready to ensure a fruitful public-private partnership in the delivery of critical infrastructure needs of the country. This approach to financing projects, the Vice President said, is intended to provide opportunity for private sector participation in the development of the country, as well as reduce the huge public debt that results from the delivery of infrastructure projects.
Allow us to replicate those we have. But we also have a notice which is able and willing to
still for power independent of the national grid.
Mm.
So you have mining companies that are willing, they want the assurance of continuous supply. And that's all they're interested in. They don't want the disruptiveness of the national power system that sometimes when the total demand is less than the supply, they're able to reduce supplies to particular geographical areas. And so they are willing to pay a little bit more if they can be assured of that. So you can arrange it in such a way that a power company generates power just for the mining sector. Yes.
For his part, the chief executive officer of HSBC Africa, Andrew Dell, pointed out that HSBC has had a long-standing relations with Ghana through Cocoa Board and other institutions, and welcomed the government's new drive towards public-private partnership. Mr. Dell also mentioned that HSBC is keen on operating from Ghana.
You know, we're very keen to get, and obviously a lot of our clients, our global clients, increasingly become interested in, either are interested in, or have operations in, or will want to have operations in Ghana. So we'll work closely with them to try and solve for that. It's like a perfect example. You know, as you know, Tafu is a large client of ours, and that's, you know, they asked us to come in and help them with that. So, and it's a very successful project, long-running project, very successful project, and obviously the financing around that wasn't simple. You know, there's a whole blend, a mix of different sources, which I think means you optimize it. And so we'll certainly continue to work on that.
That was the Chief Executive Officer of HSBC Africa, Andrew Dell.
The Electricity Company of Ghana, ECG, has been directed to conduct a nationwide inspection of all markets with a view to looking out for all illegal connections in the markets. According to a statement signed by a Deputy Minister for Information and Media Relations, Phyllis Kwachi Ofosu, illegal connections have been identified as one of the causes of fires in the markets. He noted that government has also directed the security agencies to coordinate with the management of the ECG to apprehend and prosecute any person or group of persons found to have engaged in illegal electrical connections in the markets. The directives form part of measures by government to curb the recent spate of fire outbreaks in markets around the country. According to Mr. Kwachi Ofosu, government is assuring traders and the public that it will adopt all measures necessary to prevent the outbreak of further fires in the markets.
President John Dramani Mahama was yesterday celebrated by leading public relations practitioners from across the African continent. The practitioners who are attending the first ever All-Africa Public Relations Summit in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, congratulated President Mahama for being the first public relations practitioner and member of the Ghana chapter of the African Public Relations Association to ascend to the high office of head of state in Africa. President Mahama, in an address read for him by the Minister for Information and Media Relations, Mahama Yariga, urged public relations practitioners in Africa to rally around the project to positively reinvent Africa's image in the world. The old narrative of Africa as the hopeless continent is giving way to a new narrative that is recognizing the emergence of Africa as the emerging global economic frontier. President Mahama, however, said this new narrative must be championed by Africans themselves. He also underscored the importance of communication in enhancing Africa's accelerated development and building politically stable democracies. Advances in communication technology should be harnessed to strengthen Africa's democratic institutions, promote gender participation of its people in development, and the creation of stable societies. There was a consensus by all participants that APA should work with the African Union to leverage the promotion of Africa's image in the industrialized markets of both the West and Asia.
Government has secured a 12.9 million euro fund from Austria for major maintenance work on the Adomi Bridge. As a result, the bridge will be closed to human and vehicular traffic for about 2 years. The district chief executive for Isujamang Johnson Ehiapo dropped the hint when the Eastern Regional Minister Helen Toso and her deputy Mavis Frimpong visited the district assembly on a familiarization tour. We bring you the details.
The DC for Sujaman, Mr. Ahiakpo, said government will create alternative routes for easy movement of goods and services so that socioeconomic activities in the area are not affected by the closure of the Adomi Bridge. The project, he said, would be undertaken by Bill Finger of Austria Constructing Company. Mr. Ahiakpo disclosed that government has also awarded a contract for the bitumen surfacing of the deplorable Apegusu to Anyansu Road to make it more motorable at a cost of 1 million and 74 Ghana cities. As part of her visit, the regional minister, Helen Ntos, interacted with the heads of department of the Sujaman District Assembly. She charged them to continue to perform their duties diligently. The minister paid a courtesy call on the chief of the Okomu traditional area, Odinehun Kwafu Akutu, at his palace. He lauded the government for the initiative to establish a university in the region and suggested that an off-site campus be established in the town. Madam Ntos also visited Dodi Asante Krom, where she sympathized with the victims of a recent fire outbreak in the village.
That was a NewsDex report.
Former director of GIMPA, Professor Stephen Adai, says the best way to promote Ghana's economy and increase employment is to make small and medium-scale enterprises, SMEs, mainstream target of policies. He said until SMEs are given the necessary attention and the enabling environment to thrive, the attainment of economic freedom will be difficult. Professor Adai was speaking at the launch of Ghana Chamber of Business and Industries in Accra. A report by Rita Nyako.
Professor Adai said small and medium-scale enterprises have not been given the necessary attention, even though it accounts for about 80% of employment in the country. Professor Adai said SMEs are the bedrock for entrepreneurial development and training of the youth through formal and informal apprenticeship. He explained how SMEs can contribute to the country's economic growth.
In order for us to grow our small-scale enterprises, action has to be taken at three levels. First, at the level of the government and bureaucracy, both in attitude and actions. Secondly, there has to also be a quantum change in the mindset of the SME operators themselves. And thirdly, we have to develop business support services. The government and its bureaucracy, specifically the civil service and related public service institutions, including the Bank of Ghana, must actively promote SMEs because it's good for this country. In that regard, there are certain positive things that can be done to make it easy for SMEs owned by Ghanaians to grow, including removal of bottlenecks that impede the development of SMEs. The SME sector, which accounts for 80% of employment and not less than between 30 and 40% of our GDP, does not have one deputy minister responsible for it, that is Kandros.
The founder of Ghana Chamber of Business and Industry, Benadiati, said its aim is to become the reference for business development, investment opportunities, and other means of commercial exchange between Ghanaians and foreign partners. He said the chamber is also open to cooperate with government in the promotion of trade and investment activities.
Tanya Akun reporting. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. President Mahamatu inaugurates 2-megawatt solar plant in Avrongo today. Security agencies directed to collaborate with management of ECG to prosecute persons guilty of illegal electrical connections in markets. Government secures 12.9 million euros for maintenance work on Adomi Bridge. Canadian Governor General begins 4-day state visit to Ghana on Monday. South Sudan rebels take over military base after clashing with army, and fire in Bangladesh kills 8 people.
Radio Ghana, number one current affairs news channel, and more.
The news continues. The Ministry of Education has announced government's plans to transform polytechnics into technical universities. Speaking at the opening of the National Policy Dialogue on Tertiary Education in Accra, the sector minister, Professor Jinana Opokuagyeman, said the upgrading will complement the existing ones. This, she noted, will practically translate proven scientific evidence into products for commercial purposes. She, however, said the polytechnics practical courses will be maintained. Georgette Cole reports.
Recent statistics shows that the country produces over 150,000 graduates every year who add on to the already existing unemployed youth. Professor Nana Opokuagyeman said even though efforts are being put in place to solve the situation, more needs to be done. She said effective policies will be implemented to ensure graduates are employed.
In the 2011-2012 academic year, the total resource envelope of the tertiary sector was approximately 885.7 million Ghana cedis. Out of this, about 65% was direct government contribution. Nearly 96.5% of that was used for employee compensation. This raises mixed feelings. We are pleased on one hand that this is the result of enhanced conditions of service and therefore we want to see more results. But the situation where the cost of education is skyrocketing uncontrollably is a matter of concern. We do not only require more diversified, innovative means of financing tertiary education, we also require a financial management revolution in tertiary education that addresses efficiency and effectiveness.
The education minister emphasized that the polytechnic universities will not shift from its mandate of offering practical programs to develop middle-level manpower for the nation's development. She therefore called for judicious use of resources to boost the tertiary education in the country.
Georgette Cole reporting. The General Secretary of World Communion of Reformed Churches, Reverend Setri Nyomi, has advocated the need to observe the tenets of social justice. He said leadership at all levels owe it a duty to ensure that the marginalized in society are not left at the mercy of poverty, because they also have the right to enjoy good things life has to offer. Reverend Nyomi said this at the opening of a 30-member committee meeting of the group in Accra. We bring you Abraham Donko's report.
The World Communion of Reformed Churches, WCRC, is a global movement which links 229 member churches in 108 countries to transform unjust social and economic systems that are harmful to mankind. The 30-member executive committee from 20 countries will, in the next few days, deliberate on a number of issues, such as the relocation of its headquarters from Geneva, Switzerland, to Hanover, Germany, challenges facing the organization, among others. The General Secretary of the WCRC, who is a Ghanaian, Reverend Setri Nyomi, told Radio Ghana more about the executive committee meeting, saying social justice will be high on its agenda.
The executive committee is the governing body of this world body, which is the umbrella body of all Presbyterians and Reformed people in the world. We number about 80 million Christians. It's the body that evaluates what we've done the last year and makes plans. We are very committed to ecumenical engagement and church unity. We believe Christians can talk together in a stronger way if we are together. And in Ghana, the Christian Council gathers churches, for example, to speak together with one voice. We want to examine ourselves and see where we are going with that kind of ecumenical engagement. We'll be looking at other issues of injustice, gender justice, for example, so that every person, especially the poor and those who cannot speak for themselves, are able to have a voice.
Abraham Donko filed that report.
Two people yesterday were shot dead at Ashtown in Kumasi. The names were only given as Gausu and Okra. A source close to the regional police command, which confirmed the story to our correspondent, said one of the victims, Gausu, was believed to be an active member of the campaign team of the MP for Menchia, Dr. Matthew Pokuprempe. The source said the two were shot dead simultaneously by an unknown assailant.
The NDC says it will tender pinches to show that the irregularities alleged by the petitioners challenging the 2012 presidential election results equally occurred in NPP strongholds. However, spokesperson of the NDC legal team, Nana Atudazi, maintained that the move is not an admission that those things alleged by the petitioner amounted to violations or malpractices, but rather to show that they were also administrative and clerical errors which occurred nationwide. However, the petitioners have served notice that they will object to any move by the NDC or any of the respondents to tender in new pink sheets which are not part of the 11,842 currently before the court. Madame Gloria Kufu, who speaks for the petitioner, stated that if that is allowed, it will amount to an ambush. Bubu Klinogo and George Asikere report.
There was a confusion over the court's earlier ruling regarding pink sheet from supposed NPP strongholds irregularities similar to those alleged by the petitioners took place but which did not feature in the petition. Whereas NDC lead counsel Chachuchi Kata believed he had the go-ahead to ask Dr. Baomia questions on individual pink sheets from such areas, lead counsel for the petitioners Philip Addison disagreed, arguing that that was not the import of the ruling. Eventually, presiding judge Justice William Atobga was compelled to read the ruling again.
This ruling, the composite question allowed the third respondent does not involve any list of documents to be put to the witness. To that extent, the objection is sustained.
I had not yet asked the composite question. My Lord, the composite question is in relation to other
documents.
When we upheld the objection, and we're talking about the composite question, in the ruling, all it means is that all that you are left with in as far as this line is concerned is putting the composite question as to the incidence of similar occurrences elsewhere. That is all.
It became obvious that Mr. Chikata could only ask one general question regarding those pink sheets. Moving on, Mr. Chikata sought to dispute the allegation of overvoting in many of the instances cited by the petitioners.
You are saying in all honesty that there is overvoting on that pink sheet?
That's correct, because the presiding officer has entered 4 votes for rejected ballots. They must have been taken from somewhere.
Your allegation of no official signature has no basis on that.
Yeah, I mean, there is a signature, so it should not be in no official signature, but it should be in overvoting.
Exhibit MBJ32, and you make an allegation of overvoting, and I believe an allegation that there is no official signature. You see an official signature?
Yes, I can.
And there's no overvoting in that polling station either?
Yes, correct. There isn't.
There isn't?
That's right, my lord.
But you saw that there is overvoting?
I believe so, my lord. But that's why I'm saying that we have to check to see if it isn't one that we have already deleted.
At the time you saw that affidavit, you were not telling the truth to the court.
I believe that was.
Spokespersons of the two legal teams later explained their parties' positions on the new pink sheet. First, Madame Gloria Kufu from the camp of the petitioners.
He said they may. The emphasis is may. You may. But at any time when you proffer a document, it is open for the other party to object to it. And we are going to be consistent. We don't want to speculate. But if indeed they attempt to do it, I think that the courts of law are also courts of equity. Equity means fairness. Equity means parity. Equity means equality. So if we have been constrained to put out all our documents, while they have put out none, where they have had notice of all our documents, and now they are seeking to abuse us, as it is said in the law, we will resist it with all the law that we have at our disposal. If you heard Dr. Baumia, he said that the pink sheets that we have brought to court straddle all over the country. There are also pink sheets when another one. But because we want to be consistent and honest with the court, we brought those forward as well. And we are losing votes as well as they are if these results are announced.
But could it not be that there are other many areas where Nana won, when there were such violations, but we did not consider them?
That is a matter that you should ask them. We did not consider the over 26,000 polling stations. We considered over 24, and what we saw is what we brought. In any case, we were working against time. In any case, the argument is that if indeed this was the case, nothing stopped them. In bringing this petition, the rules also permit that they could cross-petition. And if indeed they had these and they wished to establish it, they could have cross-petitioned and brought those things forward instead of keeping them under the table and springing surprises that are not permitted by the rules.
Nana Atudazi also speaks for the NDC legal team.
If you want to see how fair it was, then we must see the results in all 26,002 polling stations. You can be selective about some and then leave others, you know, unexamined. And I think that when our witness comes on board, or when the electoral commissioner also comes on board, we shall see some forays into this area for us to determine this. Now, I want to also say that we have never claimed that the elections were flawed. Our position has been very clear all along that this is a fair election, given all the circumstances, a very fair and free election. We want so. We're saying that there were administrative and clerical errors. That one, even in the court, is that our lives make mistakes. There are. And we say these mistakes are across the 26,002. That is our point. We are not saying that there's overvoting in Ashanti or whatnot. We are saying that if there are clerical administrative errors, they are across board in the 26,002. Yes, now they've been able to hold our mouth from cross-examiner on that. That is the decision of the court. We respect it. But we can assure you that our witness will come and will unfold the entire result. So we will see whether these administrative and clerical errors also occurred in the Ashanti and Eastern region and their strongholds.
While the petitioners are of the view that they have a genuine case, the respondents have maintained that their petitioners have just set out to deny Ghanaians registered to vote their lawfully cast vote in order to achieve their ambition. Time certainly will tell which of the two positions is just. Mr. Chikata continues his cross-examination.
Bubuki Nogo and George Asikiri's report.
The Governor General of Canada, David Lloyd Johnston, and his wife, Mrs. Sharon Johnston, will be in Ghana on Monday for a 4-day state visit. The visit will be the first leg of a three-country African tour that will also see Mr. Johnston visiting Republic of Botswana and South Africa. A statement signed by Deputy Minister for Information and Media Relations, Felix Kwachi Fosu, said the Governor General and his delegation will hold meetings with President John Mahama at the Flagstaff House and also visit the Mensah Palace in Kumasi. Mr. Johnston will also visit the Kwame Nkrumah Mausoleum and co-host a business luncheon with Vice President Pakwisi Misahata. The visit is expected to strengthen bilateral relations and deepen the commercial and educational ties between the two countries.
Fire in a garment factory in the Bangladesh capital Dhaka has killed at least 8 people. Officials say the blaze took place overnight in the Mepe industrial district. The fire comes with the issue of industrial safety in Bangladesh under tense scrutiny following the collapse of an 8-story building late last month.
South Sudanese rebels have seized a military base and town after clashing with the army in the east following an escalation of violence that has already dislocated thousands of people and hampered plans to explore for oil. The rebels, led by David Yao Yao Pazdeng, as the South Sudan Democratic Army say they want to end corruption and the one-party system led by the Sudan Liberation People's Movement.
And in some sports news, today is exactly 12 years since the infamous May 9 disaster occurred at the Accra Sports Stadium. The event took the lives of 127 football fans during a stampede after a league match between Ghana's two football giants, Accra House of Oak and Kumasi Asante Kotoko. As an annual ritual, the Ghana Football Association will spearhead activities to remember the fallen football fans, many of whom died from stampede.
To end the news, the main point again. President John Mahama will today inaugurate a 2-megawatt solar plant at Navrongo in the Upper East Region. The 2-megawatt solar plant, which was built by the VRA, is part of efforts to reuse renewable energy to augment the country's current power generation. And government has directed the Electricity Company of Ghana and the security agencies to inspect all markets to apprehend and prosecute any person or group of persons found engaged in illegal electrical connections. The news was presented by Abraham Donko
and Naja Gliago in Accra.